You too. I do have a title slide. Year of Understanding. And this year is all about you. Praise the Lord. And you know, in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. I really believe that if we will pay attention to what we're talking about, that God will do great things in our lives. You know, I don't just find things to, you know, preach on Sunday. I really, really talk about the things that I think that God is saying to us. And it says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. And so I understand how I teach is unique. You know, that I don't always speak fluently, and, you know, the way I try to explain things is weird because I'm not as, I can't even say it, artistic as some people. You know, I'm not as clever or whatever it is, but I do believe the things that I teach are important. And what I believe I teach, you know, it shouldn't be unique, because what I teach I have learned from the Bible. And that's the basis of my belief system is I've read it, and I've read it again. I've never read it enough, but I read it. And so when I see what they taught and what they said, you know, that becomes a part of my life. And I don't read that as like it's for yesterday. I read like that's for me today. And you know, and I learn to identify with their thought processes and what they're saying and you know, in the heart of the matters. And so I don't think other teachers are all wrong or anything like that, far be it. You know, we're all just trying to do the best we can. But many times I think that they fail to emphasize vital parts of the gospel. So it's not that they say the wrong things or teach the wrong things. It's just sometimes they don't know about some of the other stuff that's really important, or they choose not to emphasize it. Like we may emphasize prosperity. You know, paying your bills, God meeting your needs, you know, whether it's prosperity, healing, you know, all of those kinds of things. We will emphasize those of a lot, but sometimes we'll do that without emphasizing why God prospers us. You know, what's the end game? And so some people just think God wants to prosper us so we can live on Easy Street or whatever the case may be. And so it's not my... I don't object to teachings on prosperity. I object to teachings on prosperity that leave off the emphasis of why God wants to prosper us. And because some people get excited about prosperity when they think it's for them. But when they find out that God wants to prosper them so that they can be a good servant to others, then it's kind of like, oh, you know, that's not the same thing. You know, if God wants to prosper you to buy a new car for yourself, that's exciting. But if he wants you to buy a car for your neighbor or to support whatever it is, then that, okay, well, that's a different deal. And of course, that's my opinion. But I believe it leaves people poorly prepared with wrong ideas. And I have just watched this throughout decades of time of people who just never got to the victory that they set their course to attain, you know, at the beginning of their lives of faith. And, you know, they tried and they tried and they tried and they tried and only to be beat down by the conditions of life. Until a lot of them are no longer in the church or no longer have a skip in their step and things like that. And it's not the teachings were wrong. Sometimes it's just our understandings are wrong. Or I could just say this, our understandings are not the understandings that we need for today. As an example, I know that paying bills is a big deal for many people. And, you know, we talked to our kids about that. And one of my kids the other day said, do you know that there's like people that they don't have even $400 to pay for an emergency? And I sort of thought, oh, Lord, they got it so easy. You know, man, you know, that they would even be struck by that. That would even seem like a, I said, oh my goodness. I says, most people are like that. I says, you know, we grew up and when we first got married, you know, we kited checks. You can't do that today, but back in the day, you could cash a check at the grocery store on Monday and you had till like Thursday to get the money back in the bank. So it was like a three-day loan. Instead of going to the payday loan place, you just kite this check, take this cash, buy your groceries, and then you get your paycheck and run to the bank and get it in. But once in a while, you wouldn't get there in time. And then the whole thing blew up. And then you were really in a mess. And so, you know, I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be at work and having the banker call, you know, about that missed payment and those kinds of things. And, you know, we lived that way for years and years and years, and we were happy. But I understand, you know, that paying bills is, you know, that's kind of a vital part of people's lives. And, you know, there are many teachings on financial blessings because that's what people want to hear about. But we just read about the need to set our minds on things above. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Paying bills is an earthly activity. I'm not telling you that God doesn't care about paying your bills. I'm just telling you that that's an earthly activity. The subject shouldn't always be finances or healing or something that we need in this world. It shouldn't always be the gorilla in the room. Paying your bills does not make you rich. People know that, and they will say amen to that. They understand those things, but then they just gloss past it. Because talking about getting wisdom, you know, over getting gold, it's just not that exciting. Talking about our need for knowledge and understanding and God's wisdom, when we're just thinking we need to know how to get our bills paid, I mean, it's just a hard lesson to teach. And so consequently, people just gloss past it. And it's not that they don't believe it. It's not that they don't say it in passing. It's just they put a lot of emphasis on worldly things. And again, it's not that I think that's a mistake. I just think it leaves people wanting, and it leaves them unprepared to deal with the things in their lives on a daily basis and the things that are coming. There are people who have believed for prosperity for 40 years or 30 years or 20 years or 10 years who have it harder today than when they started out. It doesn't address, when we just teach, you know, about worldly concerns, it doesn't address what their minds are set on in a way that excites them when we talk about the need for wisdom or knowledge. And so I know that I'm kind of pushing uphill trying to get people excited about, let's make this year about you. Let's make this about, you know, clearing up the way that we think. Let's work on our thinking and our understanding and not so much on all these daily concerns. I'm just trying to say, you know, can we just like take some of that stuff and can we just park it? I'm not saying we're going to forget it or say that God doesn't bless it. Can we just park that for a moment and think about some other things? Can we just put our emphasis in another place? Can we just try it? The problem with just always addressing our worldly concerns is that without wisdom and knowledge, people never get set free from their financial needs. They never get set free from their problems. It's always a gorilla in the room of their lives. And so you keep getting crowds of people together to hear about financial blessings, but no one experiences the freedom that's promised. And pretty soon, you can't even get people excited about that. And, you know, until we try to find somebody who has a new slant on it or something that perks our interest. Racking your brain over how you're going to pay your bills or how you're going to pay for the next thing that you want is not setting your mind on things above. It does not fit that definition. That's setting your mind on things below. So the emphasis should be on gaining wisdom and understanding that comes from above, not on always dealing with things that are just a consequence of not doing that. So my objections have never been over teaching about financial blessings. I've taught about them myself. My objection has always been over emphasis. Wisdom is better than money. But to me today, that's real. That's a part of my life, okay? But it wasn't always that way. Sometimes those were just words. Yeah, okay, right, you know. But, I mean, it wasn't part of who I was. I didn't really value wisdom and knowledge because I thought I had it all. What I valued was getting some money so I could pay my bill, so I could get that money in the bank before all my checks kited or whatever got sent back. But wisdom is better than money. We don't simply want to say that, though. We want to live that. In other words, we want to make that part of our identity. We want to pursue wisdom and it to be a part of our core. You know, what are you into? What excites you? You know, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. We need to have it be a part of our heartbeat, not just part of something that we will agree to when we hear a scripture read. When your emphasis is always on finances, when your mind is thinking about how much money you have instead of how well you know God, you're on a path to disappointment, confusion, and delusion. We our biggest concern today ought to be when we wake up is not how much money we have or, you know, all those kind of things. It'll be how well do I know God? Do I know God well enough to get through the things that are coming? Do I know God well enough to get me past the next thing the devil throws at me? You will end up being a financial slave instead of being financially free if all of your attention and all your mind is set on worldly concerns. It just has the opposite effect of what you would hope that it would have. But most people don't want to hear that kind of thing. They think, I don't have the spiritual understanding that they have or the message that they want. And so they only want to hear one thing, and they want to hear, what they want to hear is how they're going to have more of something in this world. People focus 24/7 on finances, health, and relationships with other people. There might be some other things, but that's only three categories I could think of: finances, health, and relationships. And that's what you hear. They're always, those are the, you know, it doesn't matter if they get their finances in good shape. Well, then their relationships are miserable. And if they get their finances and their relationships are wonderful, then their health stinks. And, I mean, it's just always moving, you know. It's always one of those things. When they need to focus their minds on things from heaven instead of all those things all the time. And I'm not saying that God doesn't care about those things. He certainly does. And I'm not saying that he doesn't answer those things. I'm just saying the answer for those things is not by focusing on them. The answer for them is focusing on the wisdom of God and our understanding. That's the answer. Matthew chapter 6:33 says this: "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." How many of you have just heard that scripture for the first time? How many of you have heard that scripture more than once? A lot of you have heard that scripture many, many, many times. "But seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And it gives you a formula for dealing with the concerns that you have with this world. And that's by what? Setting your minds on things of heaven. And so it's not that I don't believe in prosperity and healing and all of these things. I don't believe that the emphasis in our lives should be constantly on that. Our minds, our hearts should be set on the things of God. "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Okay, so there again, there's a passage that we say, we give mental assent to, but we don't really make it a part of who we are. We don't make that a part of our identity. You know, our first thought You know, when something is going bad in our lives, you know, when we get stuck in a mud puddle or whatever it is, our first thought isn't, well, you know, whatever, that's no big deal, praise God. You know, or I mean, you know, that's, I mean, that becomes this mountain. The emphasis of our lives should be on seeking the kingdom of Jesus and his righteousness that he purchased for us, not on our daily needs, which is difficult for us because we're creatures of flesh and we all have daily needs. I usually get hungry several times a day. I have no problem with food whatsoever until I get hungry. Well, sometimes that's not even true. Anyway, hallelujah. All right. And but we hear these kind of scriptures that where it says seek his kingdom, you know, his righteousness. We say amen to that, but it's not like we really obey that. It's not like we really make that part of our heartbeat. We don't set out to conquer that. We don't emphasize it in our daily lives. We don't make it a part of our daily lives. And so refusing to put all of our emphasis on our daily needs is not part of most people's identities. Most people are very concerned and spend a lot of thought power and time on their daily needs, their worldly needs. What most people are focused on is how to bring about circumstances that line up with their early earthly desires. How can I get all my plates spinning at the same time? You ever seen one of those circus people? They get to put the plate on a stick and they spin it, and they get the second one going, and they get the third one going, and then they get the fourth one going, and sometimes they have to run back over here and get this one going, and you know, the more they get up there, the more handy they need to be. And some people in life aren't as handy as other people. Some people can get a lot of plates going, keep them all spinning, but it's just a matter of time till them things come crashing down. What most people are focused on is how to bring about circumstances that line up with their earthly desires, desires that come from setting their minds on things in the world, not on setting their minds from the things of heaven. And so our desire list is turned upside down. And so our problem is starting with the root of our desires. But again, see, those aren't the kinds of things that people want to talk about. They want to hear about how do I fix these things in this life. How do I get that new set of tires, or how do I, you know, get past this ailment that I have? Or it's all about those kinds of things. And here's the deal: aligning perfect circumstances, it just never happens. Not in this life. You just don't get to that place where you got all your plates spinning and you get to sit back and go, wow, I guess now I can enter into Jesus' rest. You know, if you're going to enter into the rest of Christ, you're going to have to forget about those plates. And so when the church doesn't deliver the circumstances they desire, they give up. When what they should have been doing was laying down their desires and seeking the things of heaven. And they'd be way ahead of the game, both in heaven's terms and earthly terms. They'd have what they need, and they'd be set free from this rat race of constantly being disappointed. I know that the only way to get people to where they need to be is to get them to understand. To get them to understand God's ways. And that's why I am emphasizing you. This year is all about you, the year of understanding. The problem is not with teachings about blessings. The problem is thinking that fool's gold is prosperity. The problem is thinking that fixing some circumstance in this life is the answer that you need. I'm not against fixing some problem. God wants to fix your problem so that you can be a benefit to someone else, so that you have time to be a light and those kinds of things. But that's not necessarily the answer you need. That's the answer someone else needs. The problem isn't the problem is thinking that fool's gold is prosperity instead of wisdom. and why we don't think that wisdom is more important is, I mean, I guess that's natural. You can't be too disappointed by it, but we need to work on that. We need to change our taste. We need to change what gets us excited. And for some people, that's just too boring. I've heard many people say how they are thankful that 2019 is over. Any of you happy that 2019 is over? Don't raise your hand. Many people consider it the worst year of their lives. And somehow, even when wonderful things happened, you know, the day ended up in a disaster. And I will admit myself that 2019 presented some unique challenges to me. And that's why I'm making this year all about you. The year of understanding. I don't want you laying your head down every night and thinking that it was the worst day of your life. There is no reason for any believer to go to bed in that state of mind, with that understanding, living in that kind of reality, because that is just a lie, especially when God has given you a life of miracles. Only you can't see it. And so then you just think all things are lost. In fact, a lot of times when we think all things are lost, that's really just the day a new beginning started. That's really sometimes that's the day that an answer begins to come into our lives. We don't even know when a day's bad or whatever. We should just trust God. I want to help you to see how blessed you are. Not how blessed you will be. I don't want to tell you that if you'll come to church another week and tithe, your breakthrough will come at any moment. I want to tell you how blessed you already are. I want to tell you your breakthrough has already come. You may not see it. It may not seem real to you. It may not be putting a skip in your step. But the answer to that is you just need to be able to see and understand. If you're a believer, things are good. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you're a believer, things are good, whether you understand they are or not. Jesus is faithful. It's going to be fine. But you just will go through it not being so tormented. You know, you just will be able to go through your life knowing how blessed you are, so you can be thankful about it instead of so disheartened. But here's the deal. I just wanted to tell you that even though I'm believing 2020 to be a lot better and nicer year to us, I don't think it's going to be that way, naturally speaking. I don't think circumstantially in the world things are suddenly going to get really sweet in 2020. I'm thinking they're going to get sweet for us because we're going to understand where our security comes from finally. If you're already suffering from depression, if you're already feeling confused and you already feel that things are bad, you're not going to want to hear that things are going to get worse. I understand that. But naturally speaking, you know, I'll just tell you, things are going to go get nuttier than they ever were. You know, it's not going to settle down. It's going to get crazier faster. That's in the world. But you know what? If your mind's not set on the things of the world, that's really not going to be your concern. Because I'm going to tell you something. In the kingdom of God, things are getting wonderful. They've been wonderful. Things of the world, they're going to get worse. Not because they really are, but because they are in people's minds. 2020 is not going to be a year where everything's going to smooth out. But 2020 can be a year that things smooth out in your life. If you'll set your mind on the things of heaven, if you will set out on a journey to find wisdom, if you will seek understanding, this will be the best year of your life. This whipping of the world, back and forth, I just think about something beginning to rock, shake, and you know, it doesn't settle down. It just, with each rock, it gets a little bit bigger and a little crazier. That's kind of what's going on in the world. In fact, I have a video to demonstrate this. Can you start my video? I hope it comes up. This is a feature. Sometimes it depends on the internet. Nope, not playing.
Tacoma Bridge, Washington, opened only a few months ago, was built at a cost of over $6 million. But misfortune overtakes the great structure. These are some of the most amazing pictures ever recorded by a newsreel. The actual collapse of the world's third largest suspension bridge. Only at 35 mile an hour wind is blowing, but this apparently sets up a rhythmic swinging of the bridge, which increases with each swing. Finally, the swinging road and the suspension cables give way and plunge into the water below. Fortunately, the only casualties were a car stalled on the bridge and a dog.
Don't you love the way they did the news back in those days? And to me, that's just kind of a picture of the world, what's going on. It's just going to get a little crazier. And, you know, the fall of that bridge is a picture of the world. And what you worry about today will seem small tomorrow. And I hate this kind of message, especially for young people, because, you know, think about the kind of troubles that they're going to have to survive through in their lives, the kind of societal problems and different things that take place. And so the question is becoming, you know, if that's true, how are we going to live our lives? Are we just going to go lay down in some corner and pray for rocks to fall on us? Or, you know, how are we going to handle this? Where are we going to find our hope? Where are we going to find our sunshine? Where are we going to find a reason to be excited about our futures that God has planned for us? Where's that going to come from? And my point to that is, it's not going to come in the world. It's got to come from someplace else. All right, there's a new world and a new heaven that waits us. God is actually coming to deliver us from a messed up world. From a world of injustice, from a world where evil's on the top and good's on the bottom. And he's going to come and he's going to fix this once and for all. And the only thing that's delaying it is because he's still waiting for folks that are out there that are lost, you know, to find him. And but, you know, this is actually our future is what happens after that. God is going to put an end to the days where we send up a few Hail Marys in exchange for a worldly blessing. Because he's looking for true worshipers. And what they need to be doing instead of sending up a few Hail Marys so that they can get something new or pay their bill is they need to be sending up their hearts in exchange for some wisdom and understanding. True worshipers will emerge in 2020. I believe that with all my heart. I think people are going to finally get on top of their game in ways that they never imagined. I think they're going to understand things in ways they've never understood before. I think that fears in their lives are going to be conquered that have never been conquered before. Because I believe that Jesus is showing us the way to victory, and it comes through his knowledge. And I hope that you're one of those people that understand great opportunity that you have. This is really a blessing seminar that we're having this morning. But things are not going to get better for our natural eyes. And since I talked to you last week, there has been serious discussion in the news media about the possibility of World War III. In less than 1 week, suddenly they're talking about World War III. And so you can add World War III to global warming, the things that you're going to worry about. And I don't know what the next one will be, but I'm guaranteeing you there'll be those things are not going to stop coming. Gold is not the answer for today or tomorrow. Wisdom is. Knowledge is where victory will come from. That's why you are so important, the year of understanding. Instead of trying to give you false hopes so that you'll come back next week, I want to fill your account with the commodity of the future. If you want to know what's going to be valuable tomorrow, what's going to pay your bills tomorrow, what's going to put you on top tomorrow, it's knowledge and understanding. If you're a person with knowledge and understanding, if you're a person that knows what's going on in the times, if you're a person that knows that you ought to be singing and dancing and not panicking, you are going to be a person in demand. When the gold and the plans of people fall apart, where do you think people are going to turn? They're going to turn to those that have knowledge. Matthew 25, verse 1 through 13. He says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. And at midnight, the cry rang out, here's the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out. And no, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go and to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But when they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet and the door was shut. And later the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. And I'm going to tell you what the oil in this passage is not. It is not earthly wealth. It is a commodity that comes from heaven. Whatever it is, it's not from this earth. It's not from a paycheck. It's not from a doctor. It's not anything that comes from this world. It comes from heaven. And some have it, and some don't. In this parable, some had it, and some didn't. And to get it, you go to those who sell it. The oil that I want to sell to you, that I'm trying to convince you that is vital, that you should have an interest in seeking and getting, is the oil of knowledge. Only I don't sell it, I give it away for free. And I want to give you accurate information, you know, the answer that all of us need for the days that we live in. And if you have power, or I guess the answer you need is to have the power the world holds over you broken. And, you know, we just can't satiate on it. We have to break the power that it has over us. And that doesn't happen by filling up people's bank accounts. We can choose today to be hungry for God's wisdom, for his knowledge. We can seek out how he thinks about things, how he looks, what he, you know, what things look like to him. It doesn't look like a disaster to him, trust me. We don't need to be forced into a desperate situation before we decide to look at what God says. But if desperation is the only thing that will move you, if that's what it takes, then it's a blessing to be made desperate. The worst thing that could happen is for God to let us blindly chase after our ignorance. His answers are in His Word. His help is not far away, but we must set our hearts on Jesus. The young rich man walked away when Jesus told him to sell his stuff and give it to the poor. Jesus wasn't promoting poverty. If wealth was bad, Jesus wouldn't have told the man to give it to the poor people. He would have told him to give it to another rich man, to a bad person. Why would he give something that was bad? Why would he help the poor out if prosperity was a bad thing to have? Just leave those poor people alone in the blessed state that they are. So Jesus isn't preaching poverty when he tells this man that, you know, to give his wealth away. He's not saying you can't have wealth, but Jesus told him to give it to the poor. Jesus cares about the poverty of the poor. I'm going to tell you something, whether by the hand of man or directly by God, you know, the poor will receive everything that's due to them. Anyway, Jesus wasn't asking the young rich man to take on the curse of poverty. He was telling him to let go of his chains. You know, just change your whole paradigm. Just change the way that you think. Change the way that you see things. You need to understand things differently. You think that money you have is your salvation. You think it's the answer for your life. You think it's the answer you need for tomorrow. You think it's the fix. You don't know how dumb you are. You need to let go of this so you can discover something new. He was asking him to think differently. And so I'm not asking you to be poor. I'm asking you to turn away from false securities and seek real help. Find the kind of wealth that you will need to survive in these days so that you can be excited when you wake up in the morning. You're the only person, you wake up in the morning, if you have some wisdom from God, the knowledge from God, you're the only one who goes out on the street, who leaves the door of their house that has an answer for the people of this world. What you have to offer is more valuable than the money that a rich man can give to a poor person. What you have can save a rich man. It can save anyone. It's the most valuable commodity that you can possess. And it's going to be more valuable. Maybe no one wants it today. No one thinks about it. Maybe no one values it today. But trust me, the day is coming when they will. And so I'm just telling you, let's get our bank accounts filled up. Let's find the true wealth. Let's get ahead of the curve. You know, so when that day comes, we cash in. The greatest fear people have is death. Do you know what Paul found out about death? You know, he was stoned to death once, only he didn't die. In Acts chapter 14, 19, it says this. It says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium and won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul and dragged him outside the city thinking he was dead. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, he and Barnabas left. What do you think those disciples who gathered around Paul were doing? That's what I think. I think they were praying. And whether Paul was actually dead or not, I can't say, but he was out. And when they prayed for him, he got back up. He came back too. And he got up. I mean, what an exciting miracle, right? And so, you know, Paul found out that, hey, you know what? Being stoned is survivable. It's not such a big deal. I'd have never guessed this before today. Now, I'm sure it wasn't that much fun to get stoned. But he discovered something that people that didn't get stoned didn't know. And, you know, he found out that the power of God was greater than he imagined. It was wonderful stuff. That was a wonderful miracle. But eventually, Paul was martyred. In other words, he didn't get back up. Do you know what he found out? He found out it was even better. You know, and so, you know, but I'm just telling you, the way people think, the way we think, the way we're locked down in our thinking, we don't understand the victory that belongs to us, the security that we have. Because we've never, sometimes it's just that we've never let go of anything to find out. And I'm telling you, when we forget, when we let go of the things of this world and set our minds on heaven, you're going to find a strength that you didn't know existed. You're going to find a way to live, to survive that you didn't know existed. You're going to find a whole new paradigm, however you want to say it. When your knowledge is complete, you're going to see differently. You're going to think differently. You're going to feel differently. You're going to judge differently. Many people in recent decades thought that they were going to bring back miracles to the that existed in the early church. But what they didn't know was that miracles never went away. They thought they were going to bring back faith, but faith never left. They thought they were teaching how to be rich, but they didn't know how rich they already were. And the convulsions in the world will not subside. They're going to grow in intensity. But your life can smooth out in the midst of that. In fact, it's probably the only chance you have to have your life smoothed out by possessing knowledge. Maybe you'll look out there and see this is just crazy and let go of it all. Just let loose of it. You say, okay, you know what, Jesus, from now on, this is your deal, above my pay grade. I'm just going to get wisdom from above. I'm gonna start applying my time, my effort, my life, energies, who I am, towards getting to know you. Because there's no sense in learning how to be a master of this world, because it's going away. I was passing out a Bible reading plan, and I'm guessing that most of you probably failed the first week. I shouldn't be so negative. Some did. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There was a few with some victories. I knew there would be some. Praise God for them, because they're the ones that inspire, you know. But if you didn't make it through every single reading, I don't want you to just say, okay, forget the whole thing. That's kind of like we do. We go to the gym 3 days, then we skip a week, and then we're done. So I'm just saying, it's okay. Just pick it back up and, start reading it again. I have some copies up here if you need it. Or you can find your own. A lot of people had their own. A lot of people already have their plan. Whatever it is. But just put some attention into getting to know God more, finding some of his wisdom, learning to think how he thinks, and not just hearing me talk, or hearing somebody on the radio or whatever it is. You need, because that's what helped me was when I saw all the things. It wasn't that you can't teach everything on Sunday, but there's so many things they left out, so much of the things they didn't teach that I think are responsible for some of the things. But anyway, just pray and pick it up and push for knowledge. I think the secret that the church keeps hidden is that most ministers in the church have never read their Bibles. And they rely on messages that they hear from others. There used to be a time when we didn't have Bibles. We didn't have literature, so there was no other choice. I'm not saying that makes them bad, but it handicaps you. And I'm just saying there's a lot of ministers out there, very good people, but they're handicapped because they just never have read their Bibles. That's why they don't know some of these things. They rely on very limited understanding of their Bibles. And the same thing is probably true for most believers. But the times that we live in call for us to be filled with his knowledge. We need to understand these, so you don't. I mean, people sometimes when I'm talking about these, people look at me like a deer in the headlights. And these are not new themes. These are not things that people we shouldn't know as Christians. We need understanding. We need to know the times that we live in. And I pray that you'll value getting more understanding this year, and because you'll be a different person by the end of the year, if you will. And this year is all about you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm excited. And I'm excited about what our church is going to be and what we are. And we'll get to be a light. Hallelujah. But just because there's a lot of turmoil going on around you, a lot of people going through whatever it is, you just need to relax and leave them in Jesus' hand, minister to them. But understand that they may have to, they may have to be squished before they'll change their thinking. I don't know what it takes. Sometimes I know I can be pretty stubborn, and so it's like I don't want to be crushed too hard, but I don't want to be left ignorant either. So, Lord Jesus, have your way in my life. And I hope I just choose instead of being forced. But praise God. Either way, God's good, isn't he?